Okay, good evening, everybody. Today is Monday, November 13th, 2017, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our third class on Amazing Agadot, and we have one more after this before we move on to the next series. Today we have a really interesting Gemara. It's lengthy, but we are going to jump around a little bit. I don't want to spend our time reading the entire thing. So let's start on the bottom, okay? So I want you to think as we're reading this Gemara. What exactly is going on, right? What the Talmud is trying to do in this Gemara, okay? So here we go. Darash Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai taught Shesh Meot Ushlosh Esrei Mitzvot Ne'emru Lo Lemoshe. For those of you following at home, we are reading the Talmud in Masechet Makot, the third chapter, page 23b. So Rabbi Samlai said there were 613 mitzvot stated to Moses in the Torah. Shalosh miyot v'shishim v'chamesh lavin. There were 365 prohibitions. Kiminyan yimot hachama, corresponding to the days in the solar year. Umatayim v'arba'im u'shmona aseh k'neged evarav shel adam. And 248 positive mitzvot corresponding to the limbs of a person. Amar Rav HaMenuna Maikra, Rav HaMenuna said, what is the verse that alludes to this? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha. How do we know that there are 613? This is just something, we all talk about the 613 commandments. This is where the rabbis get it from. That the verse says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha. Moses commanded to us the Torah and inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, Torah, Bigimatria, Shit Mea V'chad Srehave. Torah, the numerical value of the word Torah is 611. Anochi V'lo Yelecha Mipi HaGevura Shimaun. Add two more that were said directly from God, the first two. You shall have no other gods. I am the Lord, your God, and you shall have no other gods. That makes 613. Okay, so that's not really what we're focusing on. But we have to start with the notion that there are 613 mitzvot, and then we could follow. Then now starts the fun stuff, right? Well, it looks like I have a question.
Yeah, just quickly. I'm not trying to be humorous here, but the number of a person's limbs. What does that mean?
Everyone's getting an Amber Alert. Okay, green Ford Mustang. Okay, sorry, we had an Amber Alert. Okay, so yes, so the rabbis had this view of that's how many limbs and bones there were in the body, and they often would connect it to these things as sort of a way to remember, sort of a memory aid. Also to consider that the mitzvot are all encompassing, right? It's a total commitment, so they connect it to the limbs of the body. Need another pen? Need a pen?
No, I'm using Maryland.
Okay, good. So now we get to the part which I want to focus on. Ba David vehemidan al achat esrei. Remember, we're starting with 613 commandments, right? David came along and vehemidan or established them on 11 mitzvot. Dichtiv, as it says, Mizmor le David Hashem mi yagor ba ahalecha, a psalm of David. Lord, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? And then it goes on to list 11 different qualities of a person. We'll read them in English. He who walks wholeheartedly and works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart, has no slander upon his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against relatives, in whose eyes the vile person is despised, and he who honors those who fear the Lord. He takes an oath to his own detriment and changes not. He neither gives his money with interest nor takes a bribe against the innocent. He who performs these shall never be moved. These are 11 attributes. And that's what David said. So let's keep in mind what's going on. We started out, there are 613 commandments. And then David came along and Hamidan established those 600, established them on 11. Okay, so that's that. Okay, and the Gemara analyzes some of the verses, okay, which we're not going to get into because it's going to take us too long. We'll just do the first two. Holech Tamim, the Gemara analyzes these verses. He who walks wholeheartedly. This is referring to one who conducts himself like our forefather Abraham, as it is written concerning him. Hitalech lefanai veheye tamim. Walk before me and be wholehearted. Okay, so, and we'll do one more. Poel Tzedek, which righteousness is referring to one such as Abba Chilkiyahu, a laborer who would not pause for his labor even to greet people. He righteously continued working. So these are King David's 11. Okay, let's skip down. Skip now to page 3. And we'll, right in the middle where it says, Ba Yishayahu ve'midan al-shesh. Rabbi Shlomo's exposition continues. Isaiah came and established the 613 mitzvot upon 6. Everyone see that? Okay. As it is written, Holech tzedakot v'dover meisharim mo'es bivetza ma'ashakot no'er kapav mitmoch bashachad otem azno mishmoa damim v'otsem einav merot bira. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, he who shakes his hands from holding of bribes, and who stops his ears from hearing blood and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. This is Yeshayahu's list of 6. So we've gone from 613 to 11 to 6. And then the Gemara elaborates on all of those 6, what they refer to. Let's look at the first two again. Holei tzedakot, ze Avraham Avinu dichtiv, ki yedativ leman asher yitzaveh. As it is written, I know you will teach your children to perform righteousness and justice. The end of the word is tzedakah umishpat, so it relates back to the verse Holech tzedakot, he who walks righteously, and Avraham said he was going to teach his children righteousness. V'dover meisharim, ze she'enu maknit p'nei chavira b'rabim, one who speaks uprightly. This is referring to one who does not shame another in public. So these are all beautiful, wonderful attributes. 613, 11, 6. Okay, let's turn to page 4. And Ba Micha, third paragraph from the top of page 4. Anyone having trouble finding it? Ba Micha, Micha came, Vemidan al Shalosh. He established them on 3. Dichtiv, Higid lecha, ma tov u'ma Hashem doresh mimcha. It has been told to you, O man, what is good and what does God require of you? Ki im asot mishpat, 1. V'avat chesed, 2. V'atznea lechet im elokecha, and walk humbly with God, 3. That's 3. Okay, so we are slowly whittling down the number from 613 to 11 to 6 to 3.
Really easy.
What's that?
Really easy.
Right. It sounds like we're reducing our responsibility, our requirements. Right. Yeah. Right. The first bump is massive, from 613 to 11, but even then 11's too much, right? Marilyn's saying we start whittling it down to 6 and 3, okay. And now finally, not finally. We're not done yet. Let's look now at. Skip a paragraph. Chazar Yeshayahu v'midan al shtayim. Right, Yeshayahu comes back now. Right, if you remember, we saw Yeshayahu, and he was the one who gave us 6. Yeshayahu comes back, and it says he established it on 2. Now we have like a competition, right? Yeshayahu doesn't want to be undone. He says, "Oh no, 6? I didn't mean 6. When I said 6, I meant 2." Right, Chazar Yeshayahu v'emidan al shtayim shenemar koamar Hashem shimru mishpat v'yasu tzedakah. That's it. Observe justice and perform righteousness. And finally, not to be outdone, ba Amos v'emidan al achat. Amos came along and established them on 1. Shenemar koamar Hashem levet Yisrael dirshuni v'chyu. So says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Matkif la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Ema dirshuni b'chol ha-Torah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak objects to this. There is no proof that the verse in Amos is establishing all the mitzvot upon one. Say that Amos is saying, seek me throughout the entire Torah. So Amos is not being, he's being too vague. Amos could be really talking, he could be sending us back up the mountain to 613, right? He's defeating the purpose, says the Gemara. So we need to find another guy, another prophet on whom we could get to one. Rather, the Gemara says, Ela ba Chavakuk ve'midan alachat. Came along the prophet Chabakuk, and he established the mitzvot upon one, as it is stated, v'tzadik be'emunato yichye. But the righteous person shall live by his faith. Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, let's just review the numbers, and then I want to hear what you have to say. 613, and then we went to 11 from King David, then 6, Yeshayahu, then 3, Micha, then a false start with 1 with Amos, and then finally we crossed the finish line at 1 with Chabakuk. Okay, so what's going on here? Okay, you have no idea. Anyone want to take a stab at this? What is going on here?
Are they trying to categorize all the mitzvot? So someone says, well, I have 11 categories and I can put them in 11, I can put them in 6.
So that's different than what you said earlier, right? What you said earlier was they're just trying to make it easier.
No, I didn't say they were trying, it just sounds
It sounds like they're making it easier by saying, well, first we had 613 mitzvot, but now King David says, no, it's just 11. And Yeshayahu says, no, it's just 7?
6?
6. And then it's just 3, and then it's just 2, and then it's just 1. Right? So, but that can't be, right? It can't be that King David or any of these prophets who were constantly fighting the Jewish people to make sure that they kept all the mitzvot, right? That they came around and said, it was really, there's only one. Just have faith, right? Sadiq be'emunato yichyeh. The righteous person shall live by his faith. Right, so that does not strike Marilyn as being correct. Rather, you're suggesting that these are categories. So what good is that? For what purpose would we be categorized? Right, King David's, so if I understand you correctly, King David's saying, we still have 613 mitzvot. Yes? But they fall into 11 broad categories. Right?
So maybe it gives you a way to understand the broad thing, and then you okay. go look at the particulars of how you can
Great,
achieve.
Right. That is fantastic. It just gives you a sense of these are the 11, or 7, or 3, or 2, or if it's 1, you have a problem, because then everything. But then you're back to 613, right?
That's how I see the word.
Right, but if let's take the 11, then you could say this is actually very beautiful, which is 613 is it's too much for me to think about. But if I know there are 11 areas in life that I am supposed to be excellent in, and the 613 mitzvot, all of them fall into one of these 11 categories, then there's a better chance of me being confident that I could do it. Because I may not be able to do all 613, but at least I know which categories in life I'm supposed to be working on. The challenge, I'm giving you homework now, Marilyn, is you got to go back, you got to get a list of the 613, and you got to fit them all into one of King David's 11 categories. So I'm looking forward to seeing that next Monday. I'm not preparing a class. I'm going to go, play golf, and you could tell. But no, I think that's very beautiful. We'll see that along the lines of some of the commentaries. I think that's an excellent suggestion. The problem, though, is when you get to one, right? Because then you're back. How does that? Everything's the same.
I think the problem also is that some of them won't fit into those categories.
Oh, you got to be creative.
That we have.
Don't give up. Don't give up. It's a good theory.
Homework for you.
Yeah.
One could be that foundation for all those categories, and I think whatever doesn't fall into the 11 still falls on that foundation.
Right, but these are, the way I read the Gemara, maybe you read it differently, is that they are mutually exclusive. David's saying 11, Yeshayahu saying, no, it's not 11, it's 7. And in the end, Chabakuk is saying, no, it's not 7, it's not 3, it's not 2, it's 1. It's not King David's 11 plus my 1. I think.
But the other thing is the Gemara doesn't treat it that way. They're not saying, and you can find mitzvot that belong in these things. They just give you one example in each. Like, they parse it out.
Right.
And they just give you one mitzvah that represents what that thing is.
You want to give me an example? What page are you looking at?
I'm on page 2.
Okay.
And so it was he who walks wholeheartedly, right? And it says, okay, this is referring to one who conducts himself like Abraham, walk before me and be wholehearted. Right? So they're just, or the other one, works in righteousness.
Right. A laborer like Abba Chilkiyahu. Right.
So it's just giving you like one example
of that. So Marilyn's point notwithstanding, you have to, maybe the Gemara is just saying, now you do the rest.
Right.
There's another problem which I'll raise here. So let's just look at page 2, where the Gemara fleshes out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Avraham's 11. And the rest are on page 3. Could anyone show me a mitzvah in these explications? A commandment? Right? Marilyn's suggestion, which I really love, is all of the 613 get folded into these 11. And then further suggested, the Gemara gives us one example of each. But let's just take the first one. Is there a mitzvah to mimic Avraham? Is that one of the 613 commandments?
But you say, nor takes up reproach against his relatives. You could say, honor thy father and mother. I mean, that's...
I'm saying what the Gemara, the examples the Gemara gives. You're right. That would fit in there. So Marilyn... Now Carol's doing your work for you.
No way.
Okay. When you're done emptying your boxes, Carol. Okay. Right? Like, it's true, we're supposed to be an honest laborer, but that's in and of itself not a specific mitzvah. Don't steal, maybe, is a mitzvah, which means if you're not an honest laborer. But it's not a mitzvah. The same thing, there may be a one mitzvah, specifically, where it says, Lo asa l're'ehu ra'asha lo yarad l'umanut chavero, doesn't infringe upon another's trade. That also may be a specific negative commandment, a lo tase. But it's hard to point your finger at a... These are less mitzvot as they are almost intangible ethical stances that we're supposed to take. I still think Marilyn's onto something, but we have to work on it. Okay, Carol, you wanted to say something earlier.
I was just talking about the one. To me, the wording of it about faith, the wording of it, was it on page 4? Okay, to live by his faith, that means you're doing everything that you're supposed to do.
Oh, so
it's a cop-out for, so, I could say there's... Class, there's 613, but class, just do everything you're supposed to do.
Excellent. So basically, you're saying we've come full circle.
Yes.
We start with 613, and we're back at 613. Because number one is really all of them. And that is exactly, I think, what the Meiri is saying, which is the last source I was going to look at. But let's look at it now on page 7. Rabbi Menachem Meiri, you see his lifespan, 1249 to 1315. Kol ha-mitzvot ponot el tachlit achat, v'hu ha-tachlit shera'oi l'chol maskil ha-hadrich alav. All the mitzvot, point in towards one thing, in one direction that every person should set themselves on. Kol p'ulotav, all of your actions. V'hu ha-kavana la'avodat Hashem, that is to serve God. V'hu sh'amru v'chol ma'secha yiyu l'shem shamayim, that everything we do should be for the sake of heaven. This is what's going on here. When Habakkuk came along and established them all on one, right? This is what exactly what Carol is saying. The Meiri comes along and says, it sounds like he's reducing everything to faith, but he interprets faith as the wholehearted service of God. Actually, he does something more than what you said, Carol. Not only does it bring it back to 613, he says, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. So in an example that will be close to your heart, going to the Astros game in some way should be in the service of God. Right? Everything we do in order to justify it, I'm not saying it's not, God forbid, right? But everything we do, she needs to be in the service of God, right? And so the Talmud talks about this. If I eat, it's so I have the strength to do the mitzvot. If it's, I sleep, so that I have the ability to do the mitzvot. I work so that I could, you know, fulfill all my obligations, right? At the beginning, Marilyn suggested it sounds like they're trying to make it easier. But Habakkuk could be, it's like sleight of hand. It sounds at first, just one thing, just have faith. But you read it carefully, like a good English teacher, right? The tzaddik ben mato yichyeh, right? They have to live. It's not just it's not faith. It's living faithfully. Living faithfully for the Meiri is everything, right? So now, we didn't come full circle. We went full circle plus. Now we're at 613 plus everything we do, yiyu l'shem shamayim.
So what didn't they like about what Amos said? Like, why wasn't that good for your one thing?
That's a good question, because you could argue that's exactly what they say about Amos, right? That's the exact,
on page four,
right, the exact objection they have to Amos, and this is a very telling objection, because Amos, again, says, this is the fourth paragraph from the bottom where that little fancy S is. Mm-hmm. Amar Rabbi Yossi, no, that's not it, I'm sorry.
The one above it.
The one above it, excuse me. The fifth one from the bottom. You see where the fancy S is? That's not it. Right? So Amos comes along and says, what was Amos's pasuk?
So says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live.
Dirshuni v'chyu, right? Seek me and live. And comes along with Nachman bar Yitzchak, and he says, nope. Ema dirshuni b'chol ha-Torah. Now, just before we go on, this is a very telling objection. Why are they rejecting the verse? Why are they rejecting Amos? What's wrong with the Amos verse?
I'm not sure that they're all there.
Isn't it the other way?
There's no proof that the verse in Amos is establishing all the mitzvot.
Upon one, say that Amos is saying, seek me throughout the entire Torah. It almost sounds like the problem with Amos is that it's not reducing it enough. It's not reducing the obligation enough, right? Maybe Amos is saying, when he says, seek me and live, he really means all the mitzvot. And what we're trying to do is reduce them, which brings us back to Marilyn's original theory, that maybe that is what's going on here. It's very strange that the Talmud would reject Amos just because he has too many commandments. Right? Maybe he means all of the Torah, which is exactly what we're suggesting Habakkuk means. So if we, in order to sort of get ourselves out of this pickle, we have to suggest that really maybe what's going on there is a little bit of reduction. And maybe they are saying maybe it's too hard to focus on everything. We have to sort of pick our spots, which would be a radical thing to say. But now the translation that I have for you partially brings commentary, right? There is no proof that the verse in Amos is establishing all the mitzvot upon one. Maybe it still means them all. But I still think maybe there's a little way to read it and say maybe Amos is just he's not being easy enough. He has too many mitzvot in Dershuni V'chyu. But again, that's what we're saying Habakkuk says, and they don't reject Habakkuk, which leads me to believe that we have to maybe that theory is not in fact correct. Okay.
Rabbi, knowing all 613 at all, are they so difficult that, like, in 24 hours, a person couldn't humanly do all? I mean, are they that?
Well, there's no living person for whom all 613 apply. There's no person for whom all 613, because some apply only to men and some apply only to women. So that's first of all, and then some apply only to Kohanim, And some apply only to Leviim.
Oh, it's coming down.
Right? 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 Exactly what we're doing here. Right? Right? Some apply only on Sukkot, and some apply only on Rosh Hashanah, and some apply only on Yom Kippur. So you take your average Monday, you know, non-Kohen. Also, by the way, some of them only apply when the temple existed. That temple's gone. And
some of them are only right? when you're in Israel.
And some, yes, and some of them only apply in the land of Israel. Right, so
this is getting easy.
Right, so that's a beautiful attitude. That of course, right. There's Rabbi Soloveitchik has this wonderful article about it's I think it's called shlichut, which means like a shaliach is an emissary. So shlichut is the notion of being sent on a mission, and he says God. And he's not the only one to say this, right? God wouldn't have given us. You can't if you send someone on a. Rabbi Soloveitchik says. If you send someone on a mission that is impossible and they fail, well, then they're not liable for failing the mission, right? The whole mission was illegitimate to begin with because you sent them on an impossible mission. So likewise, God can't hold us liable for not doing mitzvot, which are impossible. So it must be, right? It must be that God's Torah is possible. Because otherwise, the whole experiment is illegitimate. So you're right. Yes.
Is there some argument about what the 613 are?
Yes.
There's not one list.
Correct. There's not one list. That's very, very good. There, Rambam has a list. The Sefer HaChinuch has a list. The Talmud says there are 613 places. Mitzvot says it here. It says it in another Gemara, I believe, as well. But... the Gemara doesn't tell us what they are. So that was left to the medievalists, the medieval commentaries on the Talmud, to go open the Chumash and start reading and saying, oh, this sounds like a commandment. The problem is the lists don't all match up, and then they have to explain why they included certain things as a mitzvah and why they excluded other things as a mitzvah and why he's wrong for including that and why he's wrong for including this. So they're not all the same. There are many, many, many overlapping. Things are obvious, like I think everyone has don't kill. Right? There's two lists. There's a positive list, the things we're supposed to do, right? There's the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots, right?
And so if I were to take a room full of rabbis, they wouldn't all agree on who's... a list of...
So that's a good question. I'm not sure if anyone... person's list has been sort of universally accepted, right? One of the big issues between the two lists is both people may consider something a mitzvah, but one doesn't consider it part of the 613. It's considered a rabbinic commandment. And then the rules are maybe a little bit more lenient in some cases when it's a rabbinic commandment as opposed to it being one of the 613 biblical commandments. Right, so that's one of the differences, and some may exclude certain things at all and say no, it's not a mitzvah at all, and some say it's not a mitzvah; it's an overarching concept, as opposed to a mitzvah. It's more important than a mitzvah, meaning none of the mitzvah mean anything without these overarching concepts. So that's an interesting class also to give to do a compare and contrast on these. But that's very astute, Marilyn. They don't all agree on what a mitzvah is, right? You wouldn't imagine that they would, right? Two Jews. Right. At least we all agree there's 613. I mean, thank God for that. I mean, that'd be really trouble if we didn't have that agreement. Okay. So, all right. So you guys have really said a lot of wonderful things. Let's look what some of the classic commentaries, these are not so classic, some of the commentaries say about these lists. Okay. Again, no one suggests that what we're trying to do is whittle down the Torah to saying, oh, they're not 613, there are 11. No one's suggesting that. Then what's going on here? So the first one we'll see is from the Sefer HaIkarim by Rav Yosef Albo, and he suggests as follows. Let's look, second paragraph, this is all in Hebrew, I'll read it, second paragraph, where it says, Umana David, sort of right over here, sorry I didn't mark it off. Umana David Yud Aleph Devarim, Shehem Klalim Limidot Hatovot, Yoter mima shehem kilalim l'deot ha'amitiyot v'lo l'mitzvot. David came along, and his 11 are not mitzvot, as we noted, it was hard to put our finger on a specific commandment within David's list, even the way the Gemara, even the way the Talmud expounds on the list. But says the Yosef Albo that King David is doing is he's giving us a list of proper character traits. Okay? So beforehand, before we get to that, Rabbi Yosef Albo, right, he says, I'll just read the first couple of lines at the very top. In this essay, he's talking about the different mitzvot and the way that mitzvot are understood and the way that they're performed. He says, Me'ata, based on the notion that there are different categories of mitzvot, that's what he's talking about. Ma'ashe amru rabotenu zichronam livracha besof makot. He's now going to quote our Gemara, the end of Masechet Makot, which is what we were studying. Darash rav simlai tayag mitzvot nemru l'moshe besinai ba David v'midan al yud aleph. That there were 613 commandments and David came along and established them on 11. And then he quotes all of them. And then by Yeshayahu, v'midan al sheish, Yeshayahu came and said there were six. Next parentheses, ba micha, v'midan al gimel, micha came and said there were three. And the next parentheses, ba chabakuk, v'midan al achat, chabakuk said one, remember all that? Ein hakavana lomar ki ba'asiyat yud aleph mitzvot o sheish o gimel yiknemen hashlemut ha'enoshi ha'madrega shetusag mitzad kol mitzvot ha'Torah. It's certainly not saying that if you do these 11, or if you do these 6, or this 3, or this 1, that you will achieve the same level of perfection or religious excellence that you would if you did all 613. O shebahen yikne madrega mame hashlemut v'lo bepachot ela. Shekol echad min hanevi'im haya mitkaven lasot kilalim. This is exactly what Marilyn said, that each of these prophets wanted to create categories, general principles, kolilim mitzvot rabot mehatorah, including many mitzvot. In each category would include many mitzvot of the Torah, umidot tovot, and good character traits, kederech shebnei adam osim, as people do or should do, kidei she'al yadam yasig ha'adam madrega gedola mehashlemut, so that a person can achieve a great level. Exactly what you said, Marilyn. It's easier to bite off a small chunk, and this is category number one, and I'm going to deal with category number one. And then comes category number, right? So that a person can achieve. Ki lemasha yikshe al kol adam la'mis al atzmo tayag mitzvot, the difficulty related to every person to pile on, to overwhelm themselves with 613 mitzvot. V'gam yikshe alav lasot mitzvah tikna mikol hatzadim al derech shebiarnu. It's going to be hard. A person's going to be overwhelmed and not going to be able to do every mitzvah with all of its detail. Hayta kavanat kol hanavim lasot kilalim shal yadam tusag madrega gedola mehashlemut kirova lemadrega hamuseget al klal hamitzvot. You'll get close to that level of perfection, even if you don't get to the level of perfection. This is actually really amazing, right? What the Maharal is saying is quite radical. He's saying the Nevi'im realized. You asked the question, is it possible? Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it has to be possible. Because if it's not possible, then it's unfair for God to hold us to it. The Maharal is saying, not so fast. It's hard. It's hard. So we have to try to find a way to make it manageable. And the way we make it manageable is by trying to break it up into... Now, this is not the first time we've seen this, right? We already have categories in the Torah. Ben Adam L'Chaviro... Ben Adam L'Makom, right? Commandments that govern our relationship to God and commandments that govern our relationship to other people. Aseh and lo taseh. Right? The thou shalts and thou shalt nots. Mitzvot that only apply in the land of Israel. Right? Mitzvot that apply to women, to men, to Kohanim. Right? They're already within the Torah itself. There are categories of mitzvot that sort of break it down and lighten the burden, if you will. And here it seemed like this may be following along sort of in the same the same type of approach, the same theme that the Nevi'im realize it's really, really hard. So what is David focusing on? So now we realize David's focusing on 11 categories of proper ethical and moral conduct. He's not talking about Shabbos or Kashrut. That's not what he's talking about, because we saw that's not what the list is. And so we can go through the list now, how Sefer HaIkarim understands it. And then we'll look at another commentary in a minute. Okay, so now we're back in the second paragraph where I said we were going to start. It says as follows, U'mana David Yudal Tvarim Shehen Klalim L'midot HaTovot. King David gave us 11 categories of proper character. Yoter Mima Shehen Klalim L'deyot Amitot V'lo L'mitzvot. These are not beliefs, and they are not mitzvot. Sharei Dover emet b'lavo v'cherpalo nasal krovo v'nivze be'nav nemas ein achat mehen mitzvah mi-mitzvot ha-Torah. Right, all the things that we read in King David's list, which included things like has no slander upon his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes reproach against his relatives. Right, those are not specific mitzvot; they are proper ways to live. They're how we're expected to live, but they're not mitzvot per se. No one, talk about the lists, no one's going to list these in their 613, in their top, the list of top 613 commandments of God, right? Ein achat mehen mitzvah mi-mitzvot ha-Torah, aval, kavanat David haita lasok klalim sheyichlulu mitzvot rabot umidot tovot. Lots of commandments and proper conduct, proper character. Al yadam yikneha adam madrega gidola min hashlemut enoshi. This is amazing, that through it you will achieve one aspect of human greatness. Right? I think that's so beautiful. Sometimes we may look at someone, we say they're not perfect, they're not doing enough, and here King David is saying, well, let's just work on one thing. Let's just try to be nice. Let's just work on our ethical character. And according to the Sefer HaIkarim, you could, listen to this, yikneh adam madrega gidola min hashlemut enoshi. A person can acquire for themselves a great level of human perfection. And there's no Shabbos, no kashrut, no holidays, no prayer. This is just about being a mensch, a super mensch. And that's, David is saying, he could be saying, once you achieve that, maybe then you'll be able to achieve everything else. Maybe that's what it means. He established the 613 on these 11 categories. If you could nail these 11 categories, then everything else is going to be a lot easier for you. But even if you don't, these 11 categories allow one to achieve greatness. Ki holeich tamim u'pol tzedek v'dover emet b'vo, right? Walks wholeheartedly. He works with righteousness. He speaks truth. He has no deceit on his tongue. Lo asal reho ra'ad, never does evil to his neighbor. Mazhir shelo yechta adam b'machshava. What's going on here? Why is this such a great level? Because in this case, a person will not sin in thought, v'lo b'dibur, or in speech, v'lo b'maseh, nor in action, against another person. V'she yitakein midotav, midot hatavot hanimshachot me'elu haklalim. And through those 11 categories, a person will be able to perfect their actions, and b'machshava, v'dover emet bilvavo. What does he mean that it's through thought? V'dover emet bilvavo. He speaks truth in his heart. That's not about what he's saying to anyone else. That's in his heart. He has a level of truth. I mean, he's honest with himself. V'dibor lo ragala l'shano. Where do we see that the person will not sin with speech? Because it says, has no deceit on his tongue. Uvimaseh. How to know the person won't do wrong to their fellow? Lo asa l'ri'ehu ra'a. Does not do evil to their neighbor. V'cherpa l'nasa krovo rotze l'mar she'haya mikaneh al cherpat krovo k'mo shu mikaneh l'atzmo. He'll be just as upset when someone else is mistreated as he would be if he or she were mistreated. Even though none of these, again, back to the original point, are real, meaning one of the 613 mitzvot, ela tikkun hamidot, rather these are about character perfection. But he sprinkled in a few mitzvot that people were failing in his, in David's generation, osh adam nechshal behen bekalut, or things which are easy for us to stumble over, v'choshev she'enan averok, and we think they're not sins, kemo shochad al nakilu lakach, like a little bribery, shepirusho lo lakach shochad afilu al mishu nakilis koto badin. Right, even if the shochad is not going to, the bribe is not going to affect you, you still can't do it. Shezed davar yachshov lo kho she'eno chote v'chein b'shar. A person doesn't think they're sinning. So King David here, with the help of Rav Yosef Albo, is saying that these 11 are not all 613. They're categories of character perfection, which help us avoid sin in thought, in speech, and in action, which is everything, right? Certainly vis-a-vis our fellow human beings, right? Ben Adam lechaveiro, between human beings and others, right? Interpersonal mitzvot. And if you do that, you get a big chunk of the prize, right? So it's really a very beautiful thing that Rav Yosef Albo is saying, that what King David is saying. Okay. Okay. I want to look at a couple of the other categories. Rav Yosef Albo goes on, but I want to see some other commentary. Okay. On the bottom of page 6, and before we go on, I want to note that the commentaries that I chose were from an essay written by Rav Yitzchak Blau, who wrote an essay on this Gemara. I actually put a quote from him in here as well. He has a wonderful book, actually, on Agadot, which I highly recommend. But I just wanted to give him due credit. So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger offers as well a commentary on this, which is a little different than what the Sefer HaIkarim said. And he says as follows. Bottom of page 6, source number 2. Vine prat micha gimel divarim negel gimel minei mitzvot. We already went to King David. We dealt with King David's 11. What about Micha's 3? Right? So everyone, basically all these commentaries follow Marilyn. It's all about categories. Okay? It's not about the specific thing per se. So what are the 3 categories represented by Micha? Let's just remember what Micha said. Micha was on page 4. No. Yes, page 4, third paragraph from the top of page 4, where Micha says, Gemara says, Ba Micha v'amidan al shalosh. Micha came and established 603 mitzvot upon 3. And what were they? What's good and what does God want from you? 3 things. Asot mishpat, to do justly. Ve'avat chesed, love mercy. Ve'atznei lechet im elokecha, and to walk humbly with your God. Anyone want to take a crack at the 3 categories that Micha is talking about?
The last one sounds like it's mitzvot between us and God.
The last one?
The walk humbly with your God.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to parse out the other two.
Okay, but without parsing out, what should they be?
It's something like between us and other people, between okay. us and God.
And what's the 3rd category?
That's a great one. Question.
Yeah. That's one we don't pay so much attention to, but... You're right. You're exactly right. Meaning, he's going to... let's read what he says. Micha is saying there are 3 categories. Vinei prat micha gimel divarim neged gimel minei mitzvot. He specified 3 things corresponding to 3 types of commandments. Shben adam lemakom, between us and God. Makom means the place, refers to God. Ben adam lechavero, interpersonal, between a person and their friend, uben adam la'atzmo, between a person and themselves. That's a category we don't hear about that often. We have to see what he means. Anyone want to give an example of that? Ben adam l'chaveiro, between interpersonal, easy. Don't smack someone in the face. Between us and God, easy. You know, keep kosher.
Don't
do it because it's right, whether you want to or not. You just do it.
That's between us and ourselves. Mm-hmm. How so?
Looks like a nice restaurant over there, but it's not going to have anything for me to eat.
Isn't that between you and God, the kosher rules?
Well, anything I would do or think or feel, it's got to be based on something that's right.
Okay. All right. So it's based on something internal. So actually, Carol is referring to a pretty high level of mitzvah observance, meaning I'm not either doing the mitzvah or avoiding the sin because I'm afraid of punishment,
right,
or because I'm going to be embarrassed, or because I'm going to get in trouble, right? I'm doing it because it's just
the right thing to do,
or that's I'm not doing it because it's the wrong thing to do, period. Meaning I could do this sin and no one will ever know, right? We could all go home tonight and sneak some non-kosher food, in private. No one will know, right? And God will know. You're doing it just because that's what you believe. Okay, that's a very high. That's the way it's supposed to be, of course, right? That's what Pirkei Avot says, that we are not supposed to be like a servant that serves the master in order to receive a prize. We're supposed to. Not supposed to do that. Okay.
Is Torah study something you do for yourself?
We don't
really do it for God. I mean, maybe we do it for God, but that's
Interesting question. Right? How do we categorize the mitzvah of Torah study?
Why would we do it for God?
Why would we?
Yeah, why aren't we doing it for God? We're doing it for ourselves.
What are we doing for ourselves?
Learning Torah. I mean, the thing is...
Okay.
God knows what the Torah is. It's up to us.
Well, we're not teaching God Torah, but God doesn't need our. But God doesn't need our Shabbos either. But that's a classic example of a mitzvah between us and God.
No, God doesn't need it. We need it.
Right. So same thing. God doesn't need the Torah either.
No, He knows it.
Exactly. So just because He knows it doesn't mean it's not a commandment that we fulfill for Him. We're not teaching him Torah.
No, we're not.
We're doing the mitzvah because he commanded us to. Well, we're doing the mitzvah as an expression of our relationship to God. Just like if I give tzedakah, I'm doing it as an expression of my relationship to a human being.
That's right.
If I learn Torah or keep Shabbat, I'm doing it as an expression of my relationship to God. You're suggesting no. Torah is not an expression of my relationship to God. It's an expression of self-love, in a good way.
In a good way.
Okay, could be. All right, could be. All right, let's see what Rav Ettlinger said. He noted the following. He says the following. Okay, we said, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaviro, Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Okay. Neged L'Atzmo Amar Asot Mishpat. The phrase in Habakkuk's categorization that refers to mitzvot between a person and themselves is in Micha's count was number one. Asot mishpat is to do justly. Why is that? Why is that considered a mitzvah between a person and themselves? Sheyishkol kol ma'asav sheyehiyu b'mishpat v'shelo yehiyu avel b'kapo. That whenever a person does something, they have to judge what is the motivating factor of their action. The end result may be something between you and God, but the decision, the point of decision, is between you and you.
Right.
But the point of decision is about you. Let's read Rabbi Blau's explanation on page 7, source number 3. According to Rabbi Ettlinger, Mishpat demands judging my own actions carefully and testing their appropriateness. We should recognize the importance of this third category of commandments, those relating to responsibility to oneself. We can better appreciate why some actions we strongly object to are wrong, such as profanity, pornography, and drunkenness, by placing them in this third grouping. Those engaging in these patterns of behavior fail to honor themselves more than they hurt others. So there's two things going on here. The point of decision and the impact of certain actions on ourselves. Okay, and I think the examples that he gives are actually pretty good examples of things that, you know, assuming when you're drunk, you don't drive. So you're just drunk in the privacy of your own home. And you don't break anything that doesn't belong to you, right? Then that is something that hurts yourself more than it hurts others. So there are things, right? Now, again, these are not technical mitzvot. There's no specific sin involved in getting drunk. But what we have seen already is that these lists are not about specific sins necessarily. These are a sort of a meta category of life that we're talking about. Okay? Rav Etlinger says she ishkol kol masav sheyu b'mishpat lo yu avel b'kapo v'neged bein. Okay, so the rest is much more straightforward. But I really like this idea about sort of at the point of decision, right? You could end up doing something that is a mitzvah, but for a lousy reason. So let's just take a classic example, right? I'm giving. Well, I don't want to disparage anyone, but you know, I'm giving charity so that I get honored. So the charity's been given, the good has been done. I think the person has done a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. They've fulfilled a commandment between that governs their relationship to other people. Yes, but what have they done ben adam l'atzmo? What have they done to themselves by making that honor the motivating factor, right? How does that sort of hurt our neshama, right? I think that's maybe what Rav Etlinger is getting at, and he's saying that's what Micha is getting at, meaning our life needs to be governed by excellence in all three areas. We normally think of the two. So here again, we said before, we have lots of examples where people categorize mitzvot, and this is another example. Interpersonal, between us and God, are more well-known, and now we're learning that there's a third option in terms of how it affects ourselves. Okay. V'neged beino l'chaviro amar v'avad chesed. When it comes to between us and other people, love kindness. Shugim milut chesedim, shben adam l'chaviro. That's talking about doing acts of loving kindness between people. V'neged beino l'kono amar v'atznei alechet. When it comes to the relationship governing our relationship with God, there it says, walk humbly with God. Be humble with God. In terms of humble with God means, you know, listening to his commandments and recognizing that God is God, he knows better, and we should do what he tells us to do. Okay, so we've moved from Sefer HaYikarim explaining the 11 categories of King David, which were really all about character development and the very, very beautiful idea that even if you bite off just a chunk, you can achieve excellence, and even if it's in only that area, it's very, very, it's great. To Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who's suggesting that it's about these three categories of mitzvot, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro, and ben adam l'atzmo. Okay. Okay, let me just read to you from Rabbi Blau's essay, what the Maharal in source number 4 is saying, because we don't have that much time to do it inside. But he says something very beautiful. The Maharal, which is source number 4 on page 7, locates a different triumvirate in Micha's prophetic call, right? Rav Yaakov Etlinger said, between us and God, between us and other people, us and ourselves. The Maharal says three other things. To understand his approach, note that the Gemara speaks of attending a funeral in order to give honor to the deceased or bringing joy to a bride as example of walking humbly with God. Back in the example of Micha, when it talks about walking humbly with God, which is on page 4, it says, to love mercy, this is the allusion to acts of loving kindness. To walk humbly with God, this is the allusion to taking indigent dead out for burial and accompanying the poor bride to her wedding canopy. So that's what it says when it talks about loving kindness. Okay? For Maharal, Micha focuses on balancing strict law and justice with compassion and mercy. Clearly, Mishpat and Chesed are two poles, right? Mishpat means justice, and Chesed is kindness. Maharal cleverly explains that caring for the deceased or for a bride straddles the fence between these two categories. Strict justice does not demand that I attend the funeral in the same way that it requires me to pay my debts or not to damage property. On the other hand, it is obviously unjust for a deceased person to lie uncared for, in dishonor, or for a bride to lack the means for her wedding. Micha taught us about law, mercy, and all that lies in between. So certain things are obvious we should do, certain things are obvious we should not do. But there's a whole world of stuff that lives in the middle. And right, that's the gray. Right? So and so that's what Micha is saying. Asot Mishpat Zehadin. Back on top towards the top of page four, the fourth section. Right? Asot Mishpat Zehadin. To do justly, this is justice. Avat Chesed. Zeg milut chasadim. That's acts of loving kindness. Those are things we have to do. V'atznei alachet zehot tsa'at hamet v'achnasat kala. Walking humbly with God, that is the taking the indigent dead and the poor bride. Right? That notion of humility, realizing that not everything is black and white. And there's that whole area of life that lives in the middle, and Micha is saying, that's the whole Torah. All 613 mitzvot depend on our realization that there are some things which are obviously strict justice, and obviously some acts of chesed, and a lot of stuff in between. We have to pay attention to that third category as well. Okay, everybody, that's it for tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. See you next week. Thank you all.